Yes, we are in our dining room today for this Passover Seder. We are so glad to have you joining us. Chag Sameach to our Jewish brothers and sisters out there. We have Chris and Gus here as well with us. Gus is from Blessed to Teach, and my hubby Chris is here, and we're going to do the Seder. I am going to open up in prayer. We have something really amazing, though. Dubi from Israel. Dubi was Kim Clement's tour guide. I'm going to open up in prayer. He's going to come on first, and he's going to give us an update from Israel as to why this Passover is so important. So this was something we're so happy because it's almost midnight, basically, in Israel right now. And Dubi is coming on to begin this Passover Seder meal with us and to give us an update. So let's open up in prayer, and then we're going to bring Dubi on. So, oh, and hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us. Our team here at the house helped us set this all up. We're so appreciative. And welcome to everybody jumping on to this very crucial Passover Seder, probably one of the most crucial we will ever celebrate, I believe, in our lifetime. So we'll open up in prayer, and then we're going to bring Dubi in. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, acknowledging you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He rose again. He ascended back into heaven. He victoriously rules and reigns at your right hand forevermore. He is our advocate without ceasing before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father, we invite your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the presence of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, to fill this place, Lord. Father, you are welcome here, Lord. Father, we honor what you did for our Jewish brothers and sisters in Egypt on Passover. Your presence is welcome, Father. Let the power of your presence go forth, Lord. Let your glory go forth tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we just rebuke any interference, Father God, every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, let it be nullified, dismantled, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, bound up and cast back to the dry places and areas you have designated, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. Hashem, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. Father, your word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let your name be glorified above all in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Amen and amen. 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 And Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So, welcome to everybody that is just jumping on during that prayer. Chag Sameach. Happy Pesach to our Jewish brothers and sisters out there. We celebrate with you. We are so excited to have Dubi with us from Israel. So this is a very special Seder. Dubi was Kim Clement's tour guide. He does a lot with House of Destiny and Don A. Clement. And he's coming on to give us a very important update as to why this is one of the most crucial Passovers we have ever celebrated. And then we are going to begin the Seder. So let's bring Dubi in.
Hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Shalom, Dubi.
Shalom.
Shalom, Amanda, Chris. Shalom, everyone, your viewers. Shalom from Jerusalem. Thank you so much for having me. I know that you have a very tight agenda today, and I really appreciate the fact that you are calling here in Jerusalem, because like we spoke a little bit before this Seder, this is a very, very crucial Seder, maybe the most crucial ever since the establishment of the State of Israel. And the fact that we have our Christian brethren and sisters celebrating together with us the sacrifice of the Lamb at such a time as this, it is so important, and it's not going under the radar of the Lord God of Israel. You know that since October 7th, Israel was under a vicious attack by the Hamas, Iran and its proxies, also Hezbollah in the northern part of Israel. I heard you say that we are celebrating the Seder. This was true until now. We were celebrating the Seder almost every year. But this year, we're not really celebrating the Seder. We are marking the dates. We are marking the Seder. But it's very, very hard to celebrate. Yeah. The whole idea of a Seder, it's all about freedom, redemption, salvation, and glorious time for the Lord God of Israel to redeem his people from slavery in Egypt. But now we are facing an attack, unprecedented attacks over the Jewish people throughout the universe. Unfortunately, we've seen what's happening in the Columbia University campus in New York. We're seeing what's happening around campuses throughout the world right now. We're seeing how the adversary, how the devil is able to infiltrate into the minds and hearts of the youth of America, and anti-Semitism is rising up again. And we, here in Israel, we are marking the date of the Seder when we still have 133 hostages that had been kidnapped by the Hamas and its proxies on October 7th. They're still captive in the tunnels of Gaza, not seeing the daylight, don't know if they will ever see freedom again. And the situation is very, very dire around the borders of Israel. Just last week, as you all witnessed, there was a vicious attack by the Iranians towards Israel with hundreds of rockets and all kinds of different drones and, you know, missiles that were launched from Iran. Once again, not too long after Purim, when we celebrated literally how Israel was able to be saved from the plot of Haman in the ancient Persia, we're seeing again the regime in Iran trying to do what Haman failed to do, trying to erase and take Israel out of the face of this earth. And we're seeing a miracle after miracle. We're seeing how the Lord God of Israel has been protecting us from that. But still, we always know that the Lord God of Israel only helps those who want to help themselves. I was so happy to see that you started your entire program with a prayer, like you always do. Mm-hmm. And that's the way, literally, to put God in alignment with us, because we need those praying intercessors. We need the people that acknowledge God. We need the unity between Jews and Christians to be firmer and stronger. I'm seeing that too many Christian leaders are not even speaking up. They're not raising their voices to what is happening in their cities, in their towns, in their colleges. And I say, silent is consent. We cannot be silent nowadays. We need to bring our unity, because there is no, we read the scriptures. We know that if you read Zechariah 8:23, there's no rapture for Jews without Christians. There's no rapture for Christians without Jews. On those days, every Gentile should hold on to a sleeve of a Jew and will say, let me walk with you to the mountain of the Lord, for we know that God is with you. We are together in this. And the fact that more and more Christians are getting connected to God's schedule, to God's timetable, to Jesus's timetable. Jesus wasn't just the Son of God. He was also a Jewish rabbi. He was the head of the largest and biggest Jewish congregation in the land. He, just like you sitting there at the head of the table, he would conduct his Seder to his people, to his disciples. You would celebrate the Jewish celebration. You would celebrate the Sabbath. And the fact that we're seeing more and more Christian people getting in alignment for the times that God has dedicated aside for all of us, you know, that we can go in any room and pray to God and ask him to come in our midst, and he will come. But there are several times, three times a year, in Passover, in the Feast of Pentecost and Tabernacle, that God said to the people, you will come to me, to the temple, to my home, and I will be there already waiting for you. Mm-hmm. And these are the designated times that God has set aside, is cleared his entire schedule, his busy day, to wait for us, each and every one of us, to come and seek him and draw closer to him. And here in Israel, we feel it now. The entire country is under almost turmoil. Today, as we were speaking, dozens of rockets were hitting the northern parts of Israel. Once again, the Hamas is lifting up their hands in the southern part of Israel, sending rockets into Sderot and other towns in Israel. And the fact that Israel is not getting a slack, nor from the American administration, not from many European countries, to get into Gaza and finish the job and get the job done. They're more concerned about those Palestinians that gave shelter and give the backup to Hamas and let them hide behind them. They're more concerned about them than their Jewish brothers and sisters in the land of Israel, who are the last stronghold, the last fortress to fight for democracy, to fight against the adversary, to stand in the gap between the radical Islamists and the rest of the free world. And I'm so happy that you gave me this opportunity to speak to your people, to know that this is a very close subject to the heart of the Lord God, to show unity right now. You can, like you're planning, you can come and visit the land, and go to your local congregation, ask your pastors to speak, to pray, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Literally, this is the time. There was no other time in the history of the state of Israel since its establishment. There was such an existential threat to the land of Israel now.
Yes, and we what we did was, because Dubi had explained to me that this year they tied a yellow ribbon around a chair to represent the hostages that are still being held by Hamas. So in the corner below the Ark of Grace logo, in the upper corner, we have a yellow ribbon placed there to remember the hostages that are still under the brutality of Hamas. This really is the spirit of Amalek that is rising up in the earth in complete rebellion in this time. It has seen a window to do this. And this is what we see happening. And this is what we see happening in the college campuses around the United States. This is what we see happening in Israel. This is what we see happening in other parts of the world. And so we have to call it for what it is. It's the same spirit that stirred up Haman. It's the same that went after Israel when they came out of Egypt. This is the same spirit that stirred up that people.
This is the same spirit that put Hitler in power. Yes. It's the same spirit that was backing up Amalekites, like you said, every generation. And you're going to read it in the Seder. Bechol dor vador baim alenu lechaloteinu v'akadosh baruch hu matzilenu miadam. Every generation and generation, they come to exterminate us, and only the Lord God of Israel saves us from their hands. This is the Seder that's probably the most important verse in the entire Seder to be aware, because the idea of the Seder is Ve'igadta lebincha. It's every father, every mother should grant the knowledge to the next generation so they will be prepared, so they can be trained, so they can be educated to see, to look around, not to put their heads in the sand, to see what the enemies are trying to do, and to know how to use the word of God, the word of God, to wage war against the adversary. Every home, everything that you're doing right now, bringing closer Christian people, lovers of Israel, and followers of the legacy and heritage and the word of Jesus Christ. First came the word, then it turned into flesh. The realization is coming from the word, and the way you educate your people to know how to stand in a gap and wage war God's way, to wage war against every adversary. That's what should be more and more in this world right now. This is something that I'm sure that the Lord God of Israel is blessing your ministry a thousandfold for doing this, because you're literally not only an ark, but you're also an arrow, and you're also a shield for your followers through the education that you're granting them how to stand and fight against the enemies, because they're not only after Israel. They are also after Christians. We have seen what happened in Australia when a Muslim jumped in the middle of a church and killed and stabbed a man of God, a pastor, right there, a priest. This is not only, those people are saying it's only against Israel. Maybe it's part of God's big plan. Maybe this is all these replacement theologies. The Islam is going to take down the Jews and then we'll come forth and take it. No way. We just quoted, Jews and Christians must be there together, serving each other, standing by each other.
Amen. Amen, Doobie. Amen. We totally agree with that. And this is why we keep the Passover and we celebrate it. It's important for us to do that. In God's word, it says to keep the Passover. And so that's why we do it.
It's beautiful.
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 Well, Doobie, do you have a website at all that people can get a hold of you or they can go to?
You know that I rather the people, you know, go through you, because I want the people, you know, our connection is very, very special. You know, I'm waiting for you to bring back your people here to Israel, and I'm looking forward so much to meeting them. You know, I wasn't only Kim Clement's tour guide. We started as a tour guide, and then we worked together and labored very hard. We put together a program for Israel partnership, which was very successful. He said it in his own words. The minute he took Israel under his wings, God took him and his ministry under his wings and blessed his ministry a thousandfold. I want every lover of Israel to get connected with you, Amanda, with Chris, with your ministry, because you know God acts through people on the earth, and he acts through godly people, and people trust you, and they know how genuine you are, and they know who you are, and I know that whatever they're going to do through you, you'll know how to transmit it and how to make sure that this will make a difference here in Israel on a personal level, on a ministry level, on a global level, on a state level, because you meet here with dignitaries, you meet here with people in high places, and you people look up to you because they know how much you love God and how much you love Israel. So anybody who really wants to do anything, to get in touch, to help, you know that I'm, like you said, in the tourism business, and since October 7th, I didn't even work one day. There's no tourists really coming to Israel, literally. There's some little groups that are coming as maybe to show solidarity. Maybe some people can turn to you and say, hey, Amanda, we want to go to Israel. We want to be boots on the ground. We want to show solidarity. We want to go to the borders of Israel, cast our mantles on the border, pray for security over Israel, and you'll know what to do with it, because the people knows what is important is Israel is the apple of God's eye, and everybody who looks at it this way, just like Genesis 12:3 saying, whoever blesses you will be blessed, whoever curses you will be cursed. God knows that the people are following Abraham will be blessed forever.
Amen. Baruch Hashem, Doobie.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Doobie, for joining us. We know it's late over there, but we appreciate you coming in. And Chag Sameach to you and your family.
Thank you. Chag Sameach. And I promise I'll keep on watching your Seder. I'm not going to sleep. I want to see your beautiful version of the Seder. It's a great blessing for me as well.
Thank you, Doobie. We love you.
Love you.
Love you too. Thank you.
God bless. Okay, so you can email us at hello@arcofgrace-ministries.com for information pertaining to Dubi, and we will make sure to give it to you. We are going to transition here in a moment to the Seder. We have everything ready. We are all ready for this. We're using the 30-minute Seder Haggadah here. So if you don't have one, it's fine. You could just follow along with us. And those of you who have your plates ready, we're so excited that you're taking part with us. Those of you who are watching with us, coming into agreement with us, we so appreciate that as well. This truly is one of the most crucial Seders we will ever celebrate. We are supposed to keep the Passover. And so I wanted to show you a picture. I took a picture up close of our Seder plate so you can see what it looks like. There it is. I'm going to go over with you as the picture is up what each component means. So you have the maror, the bitter herbs, which is the horseradish, which represents the bitter life of the Jews in slavery. You have the charoset, which is the apple mixture, which represents the bricks and mortar that they had to build. The zeroa, the roasted bone, which we have here is you can use a lamb shank or a chicken leg. We have a chicken leg, represents God's mighty arm. The bitza, the hard-boiled egg, represents the second sacrifice offered on the eve of Passover at the temple. The carpus, which is the parsley, usually used parsley, represents the arrival of spring. And then we have salt water in the middle of the plate, which we don't have in that picture, but we have it here. And that represents the tears of our ancestors as they cried out to God in bondage. So that is the entire Seder plate and its meaning. And so basically, it really is. I mean, Passover has a lot of just deep-rooted meaning for generations. And so this is why it's so important for us to keep the Passover, for Christians to keep the Passover. The Lord wants us to keep the Passover. We also have matzo ball soup today that our staff made. So everyone's got one. Chris has one. Gus has one. So homemade matzo ball soup. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to do the lighting of the candle. Okay, so this is the basically the Sabbath candle lighting. And I'm doing this for you now, because sometimes Passover falls on a Friday, but I want to do it for you just to show you what this would be like. So basically the Shabbat Haggadol was the great Shabbat, which was on Friday. This probably would have been done then, but I'm going to do it for you now. So then basically you will see what the prayer is and what the blessing is. So this is Chris's new lighter that I bought him. Would you like to light the candles? There you go. As Chris lights the candles, I'm going to say the prayer, and it says, "Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvah, who commanded us to light the festival candle." So they would have done this on Friday, but I'm doing this for you live so you can see what they would have done. "Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who gave us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this season of joy." So that would have been the Shabbat Haggadah. And now what we're going to do is we have sparkling grape juice here. So we're going to do the blessing over the wine. That is next as we follow along here. So we have our cups all filled, and it is in Hebrew and it is in English. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech ha'olam borai pari chagafen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who has chosen us from all nations, raised us above all tongues, and made us holy with your mitzvah, meaning commands. And you, Adonai, our God, have lovingly given us festivals for rejoicing, holidays and seasons for gladness. This festival of matzah, the season of our freedom, a holy gathering in remembrance of the Exodus from Egypt. For you have chosen and made us holy above all peoples, and your holy festivals in joy and gladness you granted us as a heritage. Blessed are you, Adonai, who makes holy Israel and the festive seasons. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who has kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us to this season. So what we would do is we would take one of our cups here of sparkling grape, and you recline. So you kind of recline back and you drink. Reclining is an exaggerated awareness of freedom. And it is customary, you can recline leaning left. So normally the customary is to recline leaning left, as did the aristocracy of ancient times. So, yep, you drink and recline left. Next, we're going to do the urachats, the washing of the hands. So everyone has a bowl here. You're basically going to wash your hands. And I'm going to do the same. So we just take our hands, we dip it in the water, we wash our hands, and we have napkins here that we can dry off. So this is next, the washing of the hands. Okay, now we're going to take the carpus. Hold on here. My tallit got a little twisted here. We're going to take the carpus, which is the parsley. This is the carpus. And we're going to dip it in the salt water. And I'm going to recite the following blessing. So take some of the parsley, dip it in the salt water. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Heolam. Borai Peri Ha Adama. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the earth. That's right. And we eat this. Remember the tears and the bitterness of our Jewish brothers and sisters when they're in bondage to Egypt. Okay, so I'm going to uncover the matzah and break the middle one in two. So here is our afikoman bag. I have three matzahs in here. I'm going to take them out for you. And they're all stacked. And I'm going to take the middle matzah. Here it is. Here, hold on. Oh, it already broke. It's got to be broken in two, basically. So here we'll do this. This will be the middle matzah, so I can show everyone the breaking of it. This will be the bottom one. You take the middle matzah, you break it. Okay, now it's supposed, one side's supposed to be bigger than the other. Now, what you do is we have to take, I believe, the smaller part between, put it back between where it came from, and the larger part, we're going to take and we're going to wrap it up in a cloth or napkin. So, Gus, if you can wrap this up in a cloth or napkin.
Never mind. Got it?
Well, then, in it?
Mm-hmm. Has to be wrapped up. We're going to use this later. So we're wrapping this up now.
Holy Spirit.
And we're going to use it later. So, if Chris, you want to wrap it up and you want to put it next to you. And we'll call for it when we need it. Thank you.
I've just gone outside.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris, can I have that first? So what you do first is you take this, you place it on, Leah places it on the shoulder and says, in haste did we go out of Egypt. Now, at this point, the children would hide the afikoman, or the leader would basically assign somebody to hide the afikoman for the children to go find later. It's a game they play with the children. They go hide the afikoman. And there's something very interesting that I'll talk about later with the afikoman and when the children find it, what happens, because in many ways it represents the Holy Spirit, and we'll show you how. So, Chris, if you could just take that now and place it over, we'll get it back in a little bit. Now the story of Passover, the Megid. Here's the other part of the broken matzah. This matzah is a symbol of affliction and poverty. The story of Passover tells us about the hardships and suffering that our ancestors endured. It reminds us of those who are in need today. So we say, whoever is hungry, come share our food and celebrate Passover. To those who are poor or oppressed, we pray for them and hope that the coming year will bring a better life for all. So,
yes.
Now we have the second cup of wine. So we already have it poured. And this is normally the youngest at the table, which is me anyway, asked this question. So the second cup of wine is poured. Ma nishtana halala hazeh mikol halelo. Why is this night different from all other nights? In what ways do you find this night different? And the youngest makes the following statement, and they gives four examples of how this night is different. So in four ways do I find this night different? Shevcho chalelo, anu ochlin chametz umatzah, halayela chaza kulo matzah. On all other nights, we may eat chametz and matzah, but on this night, only matzah. Shevcho halelo anu ochlin shar yiracho halayila chaze maror. On all other nights, we eat many vegetables, but on this night, only maror. Shevcho halelo in anu matbilin afilu pra'am echat halaya chaze shite famim. On all other nights, we don't dip even once, but only this night we dip twice. This is all the ways this night is different. Shibcho halelo anu ochlin ben yoshvin uvein misubin halela hazeh kulanu misubin. On all other nights, we eat either sitting up or reclining, but on this night, we all recline. The four questions are, in fact, not four questions at all. They are four statements that clarify the main question of the Seder. Why is this night different from all other nights? This night is different from all other nights because on this night, we tell the story of Passover as inscribed in the book of Exodus. This night is also different because we participate in rituals that have been observed at Passover Seders for centuries by our Jewish ancestors. We remind ourselves every year at this time that we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God took us out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. If God had not liberated our ancestors from Egyptian slavery, then we and our children and our children's children might still be slaves in the land of Egypt. Even if we knew the story well and have told it many times, it is essential to be reminded of the details so we don't forget. By recognizing the oppression of our enslaved ancestors, we gain a greater appreciation of the freedom we enjoy today. As we participate in the rituals of the Seder, we should not only make sure the story of Passover is told and the significance of each component of the Seder is explained, but we should also engage the children in proceedings. The children are encouraged to ask questions regarding the rituals of the evening. If they don't, the elders take on the role of teacher and explain using language appropriate to each child's ability to understand. So then they go through the four children, like the wise child wants something to do with Passover, the wicked child probably wants nothing to do with the Passover. And so they go through these four different types of children. What are we going to do is we're going to move on to the next page, which is we toast our endurance as a people. So we have the matzahs covered and we're going to lift up our wine glass, one of our wine glasses here, and is proclaimed joyously. Throughout the ages, we have endured, for not only has one risen against us to annihilate us, but in every generation, they rise against us to annihilate us. Mm. But Adonai, the Holy One of Blessing, rescues us from their hand. So now we put down the wine. We're going to uncover the matzah. Here we go. We're going to uncover the matzah. We weren't always slaves in Egypt. We became slaves. And the story of how we became slaves to the pharaohs of Egypt and ultimately how we were freed is really the basis of the story of Passover. It's a part of history that belongs to all of us. By telling this story year after year, we're ensuring that we'll never forget our oppression or our freedom. As with most of religious history, the story has been passed on from generation to generation, And tonight, especially if there are children present, you're perpetuating an important ritual. Okay, we're going to read what happened now in Egypt. Many years ago in the land of Egypt, Joseph, the son of Jacob and Rachel, was sold into slavery by his brothers. Joseph was skilled and intelligent and soon became an official in the court of the Egyptian pharaoh. Joseph could interpret dreams, which he sometimes used to predict the future. He offered the pharaoh's prediction of an upcoming famine, which the pharaoh heeded. Because Joseph's timely advice saved the land from a great famine, Pharaoh invited them to stay when Joseph's family came to Egypt searching for food. They lived in peace for many years and became known as Israelites. Years later, a new pharaoh came to rule. He did not remember Joseph and all he had done for the Egyptians. He saw the Israelites' population was growing rapidly and feared that in a war they might side with the enemy and become a danger to Egypt. To remove this problem of the Israelites, Pharaoh enslaved them. He forced them to work hard, building his cities and palaces, baking bricks and carrying stones in the desert heat. They knew neither peace nor rest, only misery and pain. To limit their population, Pharaoh decreed every baby born to an Israelite woman shall be drowned in the river in the Nile. In an effort to save their baby, Amram and Yocheved, a Jewish slave couple, hid him in a basket on the riverbank. This is Moses. When Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, came down to the river to bathe, she found the baby and decided to take him home to the palace. The princess named the baby boy Moses, which means brought out of the water. Because she needed a nurse to feed and care for the baby, the princess looked for a Jewish nurse. Yocheved's daughter, Miriam, who was hiding by the river watching, came out and told the princess that she knew of a nurse. She ran home and brought Yocheved back to the princess, not revealing that she was really Moses' mother. Yocheved became Moses' nurse and was able to care for him throughout his childhood. Moses, being the adopted son of the princess, would have lived a rich life in the pharaoh's palace, but he could not bear to see his people suffer as slaves. One day he came upon an Egyptian taskmaster who was beating an Israelite slave. In a fit of rage, Moses beat the Egyptian to death. His crime soon became known, and Moses was forced to leave his homeland and flee into the desert. Wandering around the desert, he came upon a family of shepherds in the land of Midian. He was taken in and became a shepherd himself. One day while tending his sheep, Moses came upon a bush that was on fire. Although it was burning, it was not being consumed. He heard God's voice coming from the bush telling Moses to go back to Egypt and free his people from slavery and lead them out of Egypt. Because Moses was merely a shepherd, he asked God, "How may I accomplish this great task? I am but a lowly shepherd and I am of impaired speech." God replied, "Go forth to Egypt with your wooden staff. I will be by your side, and the Pharaoh will be forced to free your people." Now, the bush on fire part. It was on fire, but it was never consumed. What that bush represented was the Israeli people, the Jewish people. They were on fire, but never consumed. They were in slavery for 400 years, but never destroyed as a nation. So that's what the burning bush actually represents in that exchange between Moses and the Lord God Almighty Hashem. Now, Moses returned to Egypt. He returns now. The Lord calls him. Moses returns and went to see the Pharaoh with his brother Aaron as his spokesperson. "Let my people go," Moses demanded, but Pharaoh had a hardened heart and refused. Through Moses, God brought forth 10 plagues on the people of Egypt. The plagues at first amused the Pharaoh, but soon frightened him. The Pharaoh promised to free the slaves several times, but God hardened the Pharaoh's heart many times, and each time he agreed to free the Israelite slaves, Pharaoh went back on his word. Okay. After the 9th plague, God said to Moses, "I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Toward midnight, I will go forth among the Egyptians, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. For the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And there shall be a loud cry in all the land of Egypt, such as has never been or will ever be again." God then instructed Moses to tell his people to take a lamb from among their flock and sacrifice it at twilight. So they took that lamb in 5 days prior to Passover into their home, got emotionally attached to this lamb, and then had to slaughter this lamb. And that represented the Lord's son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. He was the Passover lamb. The Lord had was emotionally attached to his son, and he was our sacrifice for our sins, and that Passover lamb had to be slaughtered. So this was the foreshadowing of that.
Amen.
So what they did is they took some of the blood to paint a mark on the two doorposts and lintel of their homes. It basically made a cross. Go like this, it made a cross. Basically, where the blood was placed, it made a cross. Moses was further instructed by God to have his people roast the lamb over a fire and eat it with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs that same night, which is the meal that we are having right now. At midnight, God brought forth the 10th and most devastating plague, the killing of the firstborn in every Egyptian household. The firstborn child suddenly took ill and died. But the plague passed over the homes of the Israelite slaves. It was then that the Pharaoh finally agreed to free the Israelites. While we celebrate the freeing of the Israelites from slavery, God has instructed us to take no pleasure in the suffering of the Egyptians. To commemorate their suffering, each person dips their little finger in their wine and places a drop on their plate as we recite the 10 plagues that God brought down upon the Egyptians. So take your wine, one of your wine glasses, and your empty plate. We have an empty plate here. So I'll put this kind of here so maybe you can see it better, what we're going to do. And you're going to dip. Yep. There we go. You can put it there. You're going to put it there?
Yeah.
You're going to dip it, your pinky in. And we have to do this every time. So here's the first plague. Blood. Frogs. Lice. Wild beasts. Cattle plague, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the last, the killing of the firstborn. Those were the 10 plagues. Moses did not trust the Pharaoh. He told his people to quickly pack whatever they could carry, and Moses led them out of Egypt into the desert. With no time to bake their bread, the people carried their kneading bowls and their dough wrapped in cloaks upon their shoulders. Once free and in the desert, they baked the dough on the hot rocks into matzah. But once again, the Pharaoh changed his mind and sent his soldiers to capture the Israelites. As Pharaoh's army caught up with the Israelites at the Red Sea, God told Moses to hold up his wooden staff. Suddenly, a huge wind came up and the Red Sea parted, allowing all the freed slaves to pass. Once all the Israelites were safely across, Moses again held up his staff and the waters closed upon the Pharaoh's soldiers, killing all of them. Now, this is in the book of Exodus, which is one of the first five books of the Torah in the Word of God. And so this is where this whole account is found. Finally, the Israelites were truly free. So when the Red Sea came down on the Egyptian army, the Israelites were truly free from slavery. So now we're going to raise a glass of wine. We have grape juice, sparkling grape. We join together to glorify and bless God for bringing us out of slavery and bondage, for granting us our freedom and for turning our sorrow into joy. We give thanks to God for helping us reach this night so that we may carry out the rituals of the Seder, eating the offerings and symbolic sacrifices while singing praises for our redemption and freedom. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Heolam Borai Peri Hagafen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Now we drink the second cup while reclining. We're supposed to drink the whole cup. And then we're going to have somebody refill it. Here we go. Mm-hmm. So it has to be refilled. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
One of Judaism's greatest scholars, Rabbi Gamliel, decreed that the Seder is not complete unless we explain the meaning of the three main symbols of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. The Pesach is the roasted bone. So here we have the chicken leg. Here could be a lamb shank too. This bone represents the mighty arm of God that convinced the Egyptians to free the slaves. It also represents the Paschal lamb, Passover lamb, that was used as a special sacrifice in the days of the ancient temple in Jerusalem. Okay, now we're going to raise the matzah, if you could give me that. Matzah, yep. We're going to do the blessing over the matzah. Baruch atah Adonai. Eloheinu melech heolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech heolam asher kitchenu v'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al achilat matzah. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who makes us holy with your commandments and has instructed us in the eating of the matzah. Okay. So we're going to break it off. We're going to give everybody a piece.
Thank you.
Here you go, Chris. We have to give everybody a piece. Okay, now we're going to recite the following. That there. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We now take this matzah, for not only is it commanded in the Torah by God, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but this matzah also symbolizes the unleavened bread our ancestors ate while in the desert, and their great haste while fleeing Egypt. Because they did not have time to allow the dough to rise, they were forced to bake their dough before it leavened and eat it in the form of hard, flat crackers, which we now call matzah. We should eat the matzah while reclining to the left side. So we take a bite of the matzah. Now we're going to do the blessing over the bitter herbs. So, basically what we're going to do is we're going to take a spoonful of the bitter herb, which is the horseradish for us, and the haroset together. The haroset is the apple mixture made of apples, figs, pears. I put some honey in it and cinnamon. And walnuts. And so what we're going to do is please take only a little bit of horseradish because I don't want anybody's sinuses getting cleared here. But if you could take a little bit of horseradish and a little bit of the haroset, okay? So you take a tiny bit and you take some of this. Okay. I took a tiny, tiny bit. And I'm going to recite this blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech heolam asher kitchenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al achilat maror. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvah and has commanded us concerning the eating of the maror. Now, well, we're going to do something fun in a minute, so hold on to this for a minute. Hold on. It is written in the Torah, they shall eat it with matzah and bitter herbs. Rabbi Hillel, a revered scholar who lived with the temple, he'll live while the temple still stood, used to combine the Passover offerings of the Paschal lamb, the matzah, and maror, and eat them together in a sandwich. Since we no longer have a Paschal lamb at our Seder table, we now use matzah, maror, and haroset to make the sandwich. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take the matzah here, take some matzah here like this, and you put the haroset and the bitter herb, the maror, together, and you make a matzah sandwich just like this. Okay, and we eat it. We eat it. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite good. Okay. Now, we're going to hold up the third cup of wine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Heolam Borai Pari Hagafen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. So we drink this cup. Now, we have to refill this, and we have to fill the cup of Elijah. So if you could pass me that special cup there, Gus. So at every Passover table, many times they make a seat for Elijah the prophet. And so we have a cup here that we're going to fill for that, but we're going to refill our cups. That's good. Thank you. And we're going to fill this one for Elijah. And this is the cup of Elijah, and this is what it says. Someday the prophet Elijah will return to the earth to lead the way for an age of peace. In the spirit of Passover, as a celebration of freedom, we welcome Elijah into our home and to our Seder. And then some of them, what happens is they open the front door for Elijah, and they say, enter Elijah the prophet. May you soon come and issue in the great age of peace. And then they close the front door. Okay. Now, here's Elijah's cup. You put it right there if we want. We raise our cup of wine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Heolam Borai Pari Hagafen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the wine. And so now we drink this, reclining to the left. Now they sing songs too around the Passover table while they do this as well. It is traditional in many families to serve hard-boiled eggs dipped in salt water at this time as a symbol of spring and the beginning of new life. As with many of the symbols used for the Seder, the egg has another meaning. It reminds us of the Jewish midwives who showed bravery in refusing to follow the Pharaoh's demand that every baby boy born to an Israelite woman shall be drowned in the river. This brave action ensured the survival of the Jewish nation. At the conclusion of the meal, which we're coming to right now, the afikoman, so Chris, if you can hand me the afikoman, is found by the leader of the Seder. So you give it to the children, right? And then it's found by the leader of the Seder. And what they do is they buy hints from the children. Because the children take the afikoman here that's wrapped up and they hide it. And so basically then they buy hints from the children. And this is the interesting part, because as this was wrapped up, this piece, and hidden away, because if you notice on the matzah, there is holes and there is bruises. And Yeshua HaMashiach was pierced and he was bruised, and he was wrapped up. He was wrapped up after his body was broken, and he was hidden away in a tomb for 3 days. So this represents in many ways the resurrection of Christ. And then on top of it, the leader says, well, when he buys the hints and he finally finds it, right, the children get something. So say the child wanted a bike or something of that. And so the leader would say, I don't have a bike to give you now, but I'm going to give you this half dollar as the promise that this bike is coming to you. Just like when Jesus said, when he went to ascend to heaven, that there was another coming, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Comforter, that was the promise. So there is a lot of foreshadowing in the Passover meal of what happened in the gospel. So I just wanted to tell you that as well. Okay, so now what we do is we have to distribute the afikomen amongst everybody here, and we're going to eat it. Okay, so Chris here. Here, Gus. Okay. And now we're going to eat the afikomen. Okay. All Jews were invited to one day return to the promised land of Israel and celebrate Passover as our ancestors did. It is the desire and hope of many Jews to someday make that journey and make Seder in Jerusalem. It is that spirit that all present together say, and we're going to say this together at the end. You ready, Chris?
Yes.
Ready? Lashana Chaba Abi Yerushalayim. Next year in Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Yes, yeah. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Next year in Jerusalem. And so at the end of the Seder, they have songs. They have Go Down Moses, Let My People Go. They have Dayenu. That's another one. And so at the end of the Seder, that's when they sing those songs. Now, I want to take you to one part here back that we skipped over that I kind of wanted to do at the end. So as a way of giving praise to God and show appreciation for all the blessings he's given us, we recite Dayenu. It would have been enough, and we are grateful. After each line is read, everybody present proclaims Dayenu. Had God brought us out of Egypt but not executed judgments against the Egyptians, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God executed judgments against them but not upon their gods, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God executed judgments against their gods but not slain their firstborn, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God slain their firstborn but not given us their wealth, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God given us their wealth but not split the sea for us, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God split the sea for us but not let us through it on dry land, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God let us through it only on dry land but not drowned our oppressors in it, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God drowned our oppressors in it but not provided our needs in the desert for 40 years, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God provided for our needs in the desert for 40 years but not fed us the manna, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God fed us the manna but not given us the Sabbath, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God given us the Sabbath but not brought us to Mount Sinai, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God brought us to Mount Sinai but not given us the Torah, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Had God given us the Torah but not brought us into the land of Israel, it would have been enough. Dayenu. Thank you, God, for all the favors you have bestowed upon us. You led us out of Egypt, slavery, and oppression. You brought the plagues against the Egyptians, slew their firstborn, and brought us their wealth. You split open the Red Sea, then drowned our oppressors. Thank you for taking care of us in the desert for 40 years. You fed us manna, gave us the Sabbath, then brought us to Mount Sinai to give us the Torah and your commandments. Thank you, O God, for bringing us to the land of Israel, making us a great nation. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah, Dayanu is one of the songs back here, so I wanted to do this Dayanu at the end. And there's other songs as well, and that concludes the end here of the Haggadah. I wanted to also, you know, there's many hostages still right now being held by Hamas. And so I think it would be nice for us to do a prayer for these hostages and pray for their families, because this is a very, very hard Passover for them right now. You know, Passover is supposed to be a celebratory time, and it's a somber time right now for many in Israel, and an emotional time. And so we just need to pray, I believe, for the hostages and their families right now, and what is happening, and that the Lord strikes the hand of Hamas, that these hostages have to be let go. So yes. I'm going to pray.
Yes.
Chris, if you'd like to,
yes.
If you'd like to start it, and then Gus, and then me.
Sorry?
And then Gus and then myself. So you start it.
Thank you, Jesus, Yeshua, the maker of all things. Oh, Lord, we pray your shalom to the people of Israel. Amen. And Jerusalem. Oh, Lord, touch them with Holy Spirit power in the country of Israel. I pray it in Jesus' name right now, and to see that power and love of the Father to the people right now, that nothing evil could touch the temple of the Holy One, Yeshua. And all the people say, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Abba, Father, we come before you praying for Israel. Lord, we're instructed to do this in your word, Lord.
Yes.
Bring them in, Lord. And we pray for all those held captive, Lord. We pray that your holy angels would sit by their side and comfort them until they are freed, Lord. And we pray for their freedom in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we just come tonight on this Passover, Father God, on this Pesach, Lord, this very crucial one, Father, for your children. And Lord, we bring our petitions. You say in your word, be anxious for nothing, but through everything with prayer and petition, make your request known to God. And Lord, we are bringing this petition before you, Father God,
yes,
before your courts, Lord.
Father,
we ask for your book of records to be opened in Jesus' name. And Lord, we bring this hostage situation before you, Father. And Lord, you are the righteous judge. And we are asking in Jesus' name tonight, in all humility, for a ruling in favor of these hostages and of Israel, that these hostages are let go. And that a restraining order is issued, Father God, against every principality, power, ruler of the darkness, against that spirit that stirred up Amalek, that a restraining order is issued, that they cannot continue to operate through Hamas to keep these hostages held. And Father, we ask tonight in Jesus' name for their release, that this word goes forth, that it is activated according to your word, that you set the captives free.
Yes.
Father, that you Jesus. Came to set the captives free.
Holy
and we are asking in Jesus' name, that tonight you proclaim liberty to the captives. You proclaim liberty to the captives, Father, and those who are bound, that you open the prison cells to those who are bound right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, and that these hostages are released. Father, we ask your holy angels of all offices, rankings, yes. and divisions would be dispatched right now yes. into holy those tunnels, angels. Into Gaza, into Israel, Father God, to get these hostages and get them out, Father. Lord, a holy angel went in and opened the prison yes. doors of Peter. And you are no respecter of persons, and we are asking you to do the same and to go forth, that your holy army goes forth mightily right now. Your warring angels go forth mightily, Father God, and free these hostages, Lord, from their captors. And Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus, Father, Lord, for your righteous judgment in this issue, Father God, that has arisen in Israel, these attacks from Iran, what is happening with Hamas, that you would weigh the matters of men right now in this hour, Father God, as the joy of the Lord, the justice of Yahweh has entered the earth, that you would weigh these matters, Father, that Israel would call on your name, they would call on the name of your son, Yeshua. In this hour, Lord, yes. that they would call and lift an outcry across the nation to heaven and humble themselves, Father, and that there would be a major turn in this serious, serious issue in Gaza, yes. and the hostages would be freed, Lord, in yes. Jesus' name. Father, we ask too, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would weigh the leadership of Iran in this hour as yes. well, Father God, for what they have done. Mm-hmm. Lord, and what they fired at Israel, Father, the 331 rockets and missiles and drones that they fired, Lord, that you as the righteous judge, because the earth is your footstool, would issue your judgments on a scroll and now send them into the earth, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for your protection. We ask that you would comfort and give shalom and peace to the family of these hostages, yes. Lord, that they would hear your voice, know your voice, and as strangers, they will not follow. Father, that they would not turn to bitterness, Father, what is happening, Lord, but that you would deal with their hearts, Lord. Father, you are an ever-present help in times of trouble, and we are calling on you now. You say, call on me, and I will answer you, Lord, and show you great and mighty things that you know not. We are calling on you in this hour for this situation, Father. Lord, we thank you for the Passover. We keep the Passover, Father. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, for the deliverance of the Jewish people out of Egypt and out of over 400 years of bondage and slavery. And we praise you for that amazing feat where you broke the superpower of the world, Lord, and you freed your people. And we praise you for that tonight, Lord. We thank you for this Passover, this Pesach.
Thank you,
we ask that you would bless it, Father God. That you would bless tonight yes, what are. We have done, Father God, as we go forth in you, in Jesus' name, Yeshua's name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, that concludes our Passover meal. We're probably going to have some matzo ball soup and eat the rest of some of this delicious food. So we just thank you all for joining us tonight. We hope you had a wonderful Pesach, that you enjoyed. Some of you that celebrated Passover for the first time with us, we are so excited you got to do this. There is truly a blessing for God's people who keep the Passover. Truly there is. And this was a crucial one as the righteous judge is weighing the matters of men right now in heaven, in his courts. This was a crucial one for us to keep, and we honor it, and we honor our Jewish brothers and sisters. We love them. And we wish them once again Chag Sameach to our Jewish brothers and sisters. To all of you who watch, thank you so much for joining us. We so appreciated it. And we really enjoyed this time with you. And we pray you learned something and you really enjoyed going through the Passover Seder. So I think this is it. I think we're done. Praise the Lord. We've completed the Seder now. And we will be on later on in the week. So we will announce when, but I will be back on later on in the week to discuss some things. So God bless everyone. Baruch Hashem. Keep the faith. We love you. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I encourage you to say it every single day. It's a very powerful psalm. And so the word is living and active, and we have to activate it. Also, Ephesians chapters 1 and 3 as well. Psalm 35, Psalm 1, these are all wonderful to recite because we have to activate it because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. So I encourage you to do so as we go forth tonight. Happy Passover. We love you, and we will be back on later on in the week.
Shalom.